Right, good evening and welcome. Nice to see you all. I'm just going to give you some useless information, first about the post office. You'll be bored to tears with this, but anyway, I'm going to tell you anyway. The post office was founded in 1516. Henry VIII, believe it or not, was master of the posts. In 1710, it was renamed the Postmaster General. The penny post and the penny black were established in 1840, and the first pillar box was put up in 1852. Telecoms and post office joined together in 1912. The second class postal system started in 1968. British Telecom and the post office separated in 1980. Romex Postal Engineers were established in 1989. They were like the mechanics for the post office, the repaired pillar boxes that you couldn't get into. The post office changed its name to Consignia in 2001, but it didn't go down very well. The reunions weren't keen at all, so they renamed it Royal Mail in 2002. The second delivery was scrapped to reduce costs in 2004. And the travelling post office mail trains also stopped. It lost its monopoly in 2006, and prepaid post was started for firms, and they got a reduced rate the more that they posted. It was very popular. Letters were put through franking and sorting machines. Most mail gets transported by road, apart from overseas post. There are two Royal Mail ships in operation. The Royal Mail ship St Helena, which travels from Cape Town to Ascension Island via St Helena, and the Queen Mary 2. Believe it or not, the Titanic was the first post office ship. Paddy and Murphy were on that one. When they shouted abandoned ship, Paddy said to Murphy, "I hope they play something we know." Royal Mail employs 150,000 people. Their main headquarters at Mount Pleasant in London. Skipton just employs 30 of them. Eventually all the smaller offices will be closed. Wharfdale and Ribblesdale, which have their own offices now, all the postmen will work at Skipton. And then eventually, all the postmen from Skipton will work from Bradford or Leeds, which have all to reduce costs. The post office consumes 1 million rubber bands per year. Postmen can be fined for dropping them, but it's certainly a lot easier than when I first started and you need to tie the bundles of mail with string, with a right pain in the neck. The post office was floated on the stock exchange in 2013. All postmen were given £1,000 worth of shares, but unable to sell them for 5 years. The first mail coach ran in 1784 between Bristol and London. Delivery staff received uniforms for the first time in 1793, and the post office investigation branch was established, the world's oldest recognised criminal investigation authority. The first mail train ran in 1830 on the Liverpool to Manchester Railway. The post office money order system was established in 1838. British stamps are the only stamps that do not bear the name of the country of issue on them. Royal Mail is required by law to provide a universal service until at least 2021. Whereby items can be sent anywhere in the UK for a fixed amount, not affected by distance. Special delivery is a mail service that guarantees delivery by 9 a.m. or 1 p.m. the next day. Dedicated night mail flights are operated by Titan Airways. Royal Mail also operates the London Post Office Railway network of driverless trains from 1927 to 2003. And that's your useful information. Now I'm going to tell you about me now. I joined the Post Office in 1981. The Post Office and Delivery office were in Swadford Street, where Roman Kitchen is now. They used the yard at the back for the vans and delivery vehicles. Mail would come in at 4:30 by wagon, and the outgoing mail would leave the office by 18:30. The mail would come in bags, which were opened and sorted into the various rounds. I was the youngest person there at that time. A lot of the postmen were nearing retirement, so I found the job quite easy, really. The postmaster was called Basil Dibb. He was quite a character. He had an office upstairs where he was in charge of the post office counter and the sorting office. He used to start work about 9 o'clock, and his first job was going across to the bread shop for yesterday's tea cakes at half price. He was supposed to work until 5 o'clock, but nobody saw him after four. And yet we heard him once telling somebody on the phone that he was there when the mail came in at 4:30, and still there when it went out at 18:30. What a fibber. Brian Carr was the sorting office manager, or inspector as they were called. He used to come up here, actually, Brian, quite a bit. He had his little office, or kennel as we used to call it, at the end of the sorting frames. He used to read the Yorkshire Post while we were sorting like silly beggars, and then he'd come out when it was all finished. P.C. Pertwain from, he used to live up at Kirby Malham, he did the beat round there, and he'd always come in for a cup of tea and a warm about 5 o'clock with Brian. They're Bobby's job. Now, my first round was horse close, combined with Keighley Road. I started at 5:30 till 12:30, 6 days a week, with an early finish Saturday, because there was only one delivery on a Saturday. It was a 43-hour week, which is quite a lot these days, but plenty of overtime. Too much, really. I was never at home. I enjoyed the round once I got used to it, especially because Mum and Dad lived on Keighley Road and that I could call in for breakfast. The next round I did was Burnside. That was a good round, but it started at 4:30, which was a bit early. But I soon got used to it. And it was easier than horse course, and I used to nip across the railway line and still go to Mother's for breakfast. I was then put on a driving round, delivering round Corder in Snagel Industrial Estate. That was a better round still, and I could still go to Mother's for breakfast. The senior postmen were all in sections, which consisted of a rotation of an early walk, early drive and a late drive. A vacancy came up in the drafting section, which I put in for. The drafting round consisted of taking the post up to Gargrave, Hellifield and Long Preston. I would pull up outside each office, pat my horn, and the postman or post lady would come out from their little garden shed round the back, which is where they sorted the mail at, and take the mail from me. I would then drive back to Skipton and proceed on my round, which consisted of Drafton, Alton East, part of Eastby, Grassington Road, Thorby and Sturton, having breakfast at my grandma's in Emsey. The walk in the section was Grassington Road, which was pleasant. A pleasant walk, better than delivering to council estates with mad dogs roaming about. I could get home for breakfast as well. The late drive consisted of delivering parcels in town, collecting from firm, sub-post office and post boxes, and sorting the outgoing mail, which took a bit of learning because it was going all over the country. You need to sort them into different counties and that. It was a bit of a headache, that. I then had to go to the station to pick up any mail that came on the train. The mail had to be collected from the other side of the platform, and the first time silly beggar me went down, I got hold of this handcart and took it down through the tunnel. Of course, when I got the other side and put the mail on, I couldn't move it up the tunnel, so I had to get two guards to come and help me push it up the tunnel. And then one bright spark said, well, there's an electric one there which you should have taken. So I did in future. The next section I put in for was the Grassington section. The Gamsworth section, sorry. The Gamsworth round consisted of getting the Grassington mail up to Grassington pronto, as soon as possible. However, one morning I was too eager to get the mail up to Grassington. I must not have shut the back door properly. When I went over Threshfield Bridge, the doors flew open, and the mail, which was all in trays, went flying all over the road. I've never moved as fast. Luckily, it was a dry day, and no wind, and being early morning, no traffic, so I managed to get all the mail back in the van and continue to Grassington. They wondered why the mail was mixed up, and I just said, well, it sort of skipped in the rubbish. Without having to get the mail up to Grassington early, I was the first out of the office, which meant I had plenty of time to do my round. I made plenty of friends on the round. I had my breakfast at Linton School, tea and toast, which was my first delivery point. I then delivered to Linton Falls, Thorpe Burnsell, where they had the disappearing maypole. I don't know if anybody remembers that, the disappearing maypole. I had tea and biscuits at the post office, then on to Applecruick for coffee and cake. Then on to Skydon, where Mrs. Hammond from Simon Seat Farm asked me if I could deliver an urgent letter to their accountant in Skipton. I said, no problem. Anyway, next day, she asked me in. She'd set the table. I got ham and eggs to finish with scones and jam, and that was every day after that. As I sat down at the table looking onto Simon's seat, thinking it doesn't get much better than this. And then I still had time to have a cup of tea with Wing Commander Noel Fitton and his wife Mrs. Fitton at Noel's Lodge, Gantworth. The Fitton family, I don't know if you know, they always used to put the flag on Burnsell Sports Day. They used to walk up and put the flag on the fell before the sports. It was a family tradition there. Now, where are we? Yes. Well, unfortunately, one day, there was a gamekeeper's lodge at the bottom of the drive, and he had a young dog, young silly dog. And one day I was setting off from the house, and the dog, it just ran right under my wheels. I couldn't do anything about it. And the gamekeeper had to go and get his gun, I'm afraid. I didn't know whether he was going to shoot me or the dog. Fortunately, he shot the dog. It was a bit of a sad accident, really. But these things happen. My last delivery on this round was Mr. and Mrs. Fernley at Gantworth Farm before coming over Black Park and back to Skipton. Now, the late Gantworth duty started at dinner time, where you had a dinner time collection from the post boxes and sub-post office around town to be going up to Grassington with the second delivery mail, doing a delivery around Grassington Square on the main road, and then up to Buckton to start my afternoon collection, going down the dale after a cup of tea, of course. Starbottom, Kettlewell, Coniston, Grassington, Threshfield, Craco, Hetton, Rilston, and back to Skipton. Then I changed vans and took the mail to Bradford. I also volunteered to do relief work up at Grassington. My first round up at Grassington was the outer shore round, with its furthest point being Cam Houses near Hawes. Now, Bob Middleton lived up there at Cam Houses, and he once played it with a regular postman for getting his paper wet. So the postman told him to get his own blooming paper. So Bob told him, right, he said, well, you can deliver me mail all the way up to Cam Houses. So daft beggars were passing each other on the road instead of giving each other the papers in the mail, and both were having to go up to Cam Houses and they were having to go back to Kettlewell. I used to deliver papers and meat for Stockdale's from up at Grassington to Scargill House. I used to deliver loads of papers and shopping to Annie Burrisford at Outershaw. She was quite a character. When I did that round, I also did the Littondale round, covering Kilsey, Hawks, Hawkswick, Arncliffe, Lytton, Halton Gill and Foxup. Mrs. Gill had the post office at Arncliffe. I always had a cup of tea with her, a lovely old lady. It was like going back in time when I went there. Once when I was delivering to the pub in Arncliffe, the Falcon, a couple came in and asked the landlord if they could bring their dog in. He said, does it do as it's told? They said, yes. He said, we'll tell it to wait outside. I also did the Hebden round, which delivered up to Hebden Gill and finished up at Grimmoth Reservoir, and then the parcels round Grassington. Now the council asked the post office if they would run a post bus service up to Malham. I applied for the job and was sent on a driver training course to Silsden. It certainly improved my driving. He said, driving on roundabouts is terrible, he says, but I'll get you right. And he did do. He was very popular with the locals, who would come down with me at dinner time and come back with the afternoon post bus, giving them a couple of hours in Skipton to do their shopping. My main passengers were Rob Foster, who always came down at least a couple of times a week. He always had a tale to tell. He always used to say, some things in life don't matter very much, and other things don't matter at all. Very true. He always used to amuse the passengers with his stories, and always asked them, hello, where are you? And where do they come from? And if there was any young girls onto them, he used to say, have you got a boyfriend? Because if you haven't, I'm your man, he used to say. Brenda Blackburn and Bob Holland, who always liked to drink when they came down, and were very often the worst for wear going back. Ruth Earnshaw, who came down every Wednesday. One Wednesday she wasn't there, so I went up to the house for her, and she was slumped in the chair. My heart missed a beat. But luckily she was still breathing, so I got her up and I got her on the bus. Save the day again. Daisy Harrison, Dorothy Rook, Jean Moon, Paul Evans, Frank Broughton, staff from the book and the listers, walkers from the youth hostel, very popular in summer. Sometimes the bus was that full, had to come back, put him on the roof sometime nearly, squash him in, always managed to squash him in. It was always an entertaining ride down. I also took the pupils from Kirby Malham School sometimes. Once while emptying the postbox outside Ronnie's, I heard Granville shouting. I looked round, the handbrake had slipped and the bus had gone back into his tables outside the book. Luckily there were no drinks on the tables. I said, I've had it. Unfortunately, after a few years, the Royal Mail decided the bus wasn't cost effective and it was taken out of service. But it had a good run. I was now back to driving a van, no problem. I did the Malham round for 25 years. It was a pleasure. Lovely scenery, lovely people. I made lots of friends. I enjoyed all the cups of tea, the little chats. Breakfast at the book. Seeing the local children growing up was nice, turning into young adults. The season's changing and the lambs once again appear in the fields. From being stuck in snowdrifts at Kirkside and Lee Gate to helping put fires out at Hilltop Barn. Talking with police at Frank Sharp's house, Sony Bears, where his grandson had accidentally pressed his burglar alarm, which was connected to the police station. They had come rushing up to be, and once I was stuck in a porch at Anvil Cottage, getting out of the way of the dog. I was fastened in till his owner realised I didn't come out, and he come round and let me out. From delivering coconuts to Rose Cottage with the dress on from Hawaii to seeing half naked ladies, it's not been a bad job. I was lucky with dogs, very lucky with dogs, only little nips and bites here and there. We were always told, rattle the gate and never turn your back on a dog. Happy days, I will just finish with this little poem about the Dale. My name is Nigel Morrison, I work for Royal Mail. For the last 25 years I've delivered to Malham Dale. Lots of good people I've met on the way, friends that will remain with me forever and a day. From Newfield Hall to Windy Pike, there's not a part of the Dale I didn't like. Through wind, rain and snow, what a to-do, but there was never a day the mail didn't get through. Up the Cove Road and to see Betty Hargreaves with a lovely smile, that's what drove me to go the extra mile. I wouldn't change a thing if I could have my way, having a cup of tea with my mate Tony Clay. I knew I'd done my job and everything was fine when I got up to Butterlands and saw John and Hazeltine. From Cherries to Gordale and up to Lee Gate, running up my own backside, I never put on weight. Have a brew at Coronation Villa and then drank my last dregs, then off to Malham Smithy on my little chicken legs. Down to the shop, Ronnie's in a bad way. Nay, Nigel didn't tell me he was on holiday. Now, Ronnie was from Bradford. He used to be a plumber. When I stand next to him, it looks like Dumb and Dumber. If I'm feeling hungry and down on my luck, I know I'll get a sandwich from John and Sue at Le Book. You all look at me and think I'm thin as a twig, but all of you know I'll eat a little more than a pig. One more bloke to mention, a man I really like, that's old George Bolland, who I see out on his motorised bike. Once up at Newfield Hall, I bent down to pick up 2 pence. When I looked round, the van had gone straight through Simon Foster's fence. Finally, I'd like to leave you all with a smile and a grin. All the best to all of you from me and my beloved Wynne. Thank you.